Are you facing a trial or great struggle and wondering why God would allow such a thing to take place? Pastor Dave Roth on where to go when you're feeling low.
He goes, I am sinking fast. Now, I think if I ask most people in this room, have you ever felt like that? Most of us would say, yeah. But then if I ask a follow-up question and said, when you felt like that, did you tell God that? And probably for a lot of us, we might say, not usually. Because when we start feeling like we're choking, we're drowning, we're dying, for some reason, God is the last one we turn to. Oh, we will cry out for him to deliver us from the situation. But in reality, we will usually, in one way or another, get sort of upset with him or decide that he doesn't love us or that he's a long ways away. I love the fact that throughout the Psalms, we see this example whereby you're honest with God. You're open to him about how you feel.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hand and the instrument I play. Wake up my voice. Let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
We've seen many examples in the past few years of hope, both fulfilled and unfulfilled. As Christians, our greatest hope is in Christ, who says he will never leave us or forsake us. And even in troubling times, we can come to him for strength and encouragement. We're studying the Psalms right now on The Balanced Word, and today we'll look at Psalm 42. Turn there in your Bible if you're able, and let's join Pastor Dave Rolfe for today's study.
Turn in your Bibles now to the book of Psalms. Chapter 42. Psalm 42 is the start of what is called Book 2. Psalms are divided up into five sections altogether. Not sure when those divisions were made. There's Jewish tradition connected each of the five books of the Psalms with the five books of the Pentateuch. So the first book that goes from Psalm 1 through 41, they connected with Genesis, and book 2 here would be connected with Exodus and so on. I've always thought it was a stretch. I've looked for that connection, and to me it's, you know, I wouldn't make a big deal about it anyway, let's put it that way, but it's just so that You know, that's one of the significances that people have suggested of the five books of the Psalms. Psalm 42 starts a section of several psalms that are said from contemplations of the sons of Korah. Korah was that Levite who rebelled against the authority of Aaron and said, you know, how come we're not, why do they get to be the ones to go into the temple and sacrifice? We're just as good as they are. And the ground opened up and swallowed up Korah and the guys that were with him. Apparently, some of his family survived. At least that's what tradition says. And that these sons of Korah, the Korahites, they're called also, were involved in the priesthood still as Levites. It's generally thought that they were the ones who kind of watched the doors of the tabernacle and later on the temple. We don't know if they wrote these psalms or if they were just presented to them maybe to be performed there at the door. I tend to agree with most, I think at least a good number of scholars who would say that these psalms were written by David. They just seem so much his style, and then that perhaps he gave them to the sons of Korah. But since it doesn't say for sure in the beginnings of them if it was written by David or not, we just don't know. It certainly expresses the same kind of sentiment that we see in David. And so, beginning in Psalm 42, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? The psalmist is here. It seems like he's been away from the presence of God. Perhaps if it was David in those times when Saul chased him out of town, he wasn't able to come to the temple or to the tabernacle. He wasn't able to be involved in fellowship. He was out kind of on his own and feeling far from God and just missing God, missing being close to God's presence. It would apply to a lot of different circumstances in life. There are times when we certainly, for one reason or another, we find ourselves going, I really miss being where I used to be. I really, and sometimes we just feel like, you know, it hasn't been the same between me and God for a while. And I really can tell that something is missing. He uses the example of a deer. Deer need to stay pretty close to the water. If they don't, they get in big trouble. They tend to hover around near little streams and little lakes and little ponds and things like that because they need water. Deer are very amazing animals, but they don't have a lot of extra flesh in order to soak up a lot of moisture and to keep it with them. They aren't like a camel, where a camel can drink water and go for days and days and days without needing it anymore. A deer needs to stay close to the water, but deer are also kind of skittish. And so if there's a hunter in the area or predatory animal, they're forced away from their safe place, and they very quickly get dehydrated. And even as dogs do, you see their tongue hanging out and they're just panting, needing that moisture. So the psalmist had seen that happening, and he said, that's how I feel. I just feel like I've got to get a drink of that living water. You know, you can get hungry and just get over it. I mean, you know, that happens to you. You get really hungry, but then you don't think about it for a while. You get busy, and next thing you know, you were hungry before lunch, and now it's dinner time, and you haven't thought about it that much. But thirst isn't that way. If you're thirsty, you're thirsty, and your mouth dries up, and you just feel, I have to get a drink. It's one of the strongest drives that we have. If you don't drink in a couple days, you die. You can not eat for weeks and still be okay. For many of us, we would be the better off for it. But try going without drinking. Try going without moisture, water, and you're in trouble. This is what the psalmist is describing as, that's how badly I want to be in fellowship with God. That's how much I want to be close to Him. And I'll just ask you, within your own heart, when was the last time you were that thirsty for God, that you were panting, that it was affecting everything about you, that it was all you could get your mind around at this point was, boy, I need to be close to God. Well, that should be our desire, because as certain as we need water to live, we also need fellowship with God to get by. And sometimes what happens is we are missing Him, but we don't realize that it's Him that we're missing. The truth is, as Jesus pointed out in many passages talking about that living water, including when He talked to the woman at the well there in John chapter 4, and talked about what you're really thirsty for. If you keep drinking of this well, you're just going to thirst again. But if you partake of Me, then I'm going to be inside you and you'll never thirst. You'll be satisfied. It gives us the picture, the image, the understanding that we're all not feeling thirsty for the Lord. We may not for a long time feel like, oh man, I've just got to get some time with God. I so need to draw closer to Him. There are some people who have never experienced that awareness in their life. And yet, the truth is, whatever you're thirsty for, that's really what you're thirsty for. People try to fill their thirst with relationships. Relationships will never quench your thirst for very long. They try to fill their lives and quench their thirst with material things. Just works for a very short time, and then you realize something's wrong. I'm still thirsty. Other people will search for recognition and success. Others for the praises of people. Others for excitement and an adrenaline rush, recreation, whatever it is that you think you want, what you really want is Him. The drive that's within us that causes us to not be satisfied, to not feel secure. The truth is, before you even knew the Lord, you had a thirst. You might have tried to quench it with alcohol. Seems like that might help for some people. But it just makes you thirstier. It just makes you sense even a greater need and less satisfaction. But for every one of us, when we accepted Jesus Christ, it was because we realized, wait a minute, this is what I've been thirsting for. This is what I've been wanting and longing for. And yet after we're a Christian for a while, I think we forget that that is what we want. Now, we all find ourselves in a place where we're sort of antsy, where we're stir crazy, where we're feeling like, I don't know what it is, but I've got to do something. That, along with every thirst that we have, is ultimately a thirst for Him. I think that God probably designed us with the capacity to be physically thirsty as a reminder to us of how much we are dependent on Him, the one who provides living water, the one who is our drink. And I don't think we should ever get a drink, grab that bottle of water without thinking of the one who says, I'll quench your thirst. I'll satisfy you in a way that you couldn't possibly find in any other way. And so the psalmist here just reminds us of that. And though in his case, he's been crying, and that's what's been his food day and night, perhaps an allusion to, you know, as I'm crying while I'm trying to eat, it makes my food salty. It makes me more thirsty. But, you know, what I want to do is appear before God. I want to experience His presence. And everyone around me is saying, yeah, where's your God? And I'm feeling the same way. I'm feeling so alienated from God. And I'm just so thirsty for Him. And then he says, boy, I remember the good old days. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. He said, you know, what makes it worse about being so thirsty? I remember when I wasn't thirsty. I remember when I had a lot of company. Right now, I feel so alone. But back in the day, I was with everyone else celebrating, having a great time, just enjoying the presence of God, having free access to Him and to His house, His tabernacle, His tent, His throne. Oh, it was great. I took it so for granted when it was happening, but it was wonderful. And right now, I don't feel like I have any fellowship. Right now, I don't think there's anyone else that I can just join hands with and say, let's go to the Lord together. Let's seek God's face together. Everyone around me is just going, hey, where's your God? But there was a day when it wasn't like that at all. And so then he asks himself the question in verse 5 that he asks again in verse 11 and then again in verse 5 of chapter of Psalm 43. Talking to himself, he says, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? To be disquieted obviously means to be less than quiet, but it's a word literally that refers to a hum, just a noisy kind of staticky restlessness. He goes, how come you're like that, my soul? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. He's talking to himself. And he's saying, what's the problem with you, soul? What's wrong with you? What's the matter? Here, life is tough. It's painful. I miss being close to God. I'm panting for Him. There are things that are just missing in my life. Soul, what's the problem? Now, it's kind of an interesting thing to do, and I don't suppose most of us talk to ourselves real regularly. Some people do. Used to, every once in a while, see someone talking to themselves. Now you see people talking to themselves all the time, and then you find out they have one of those hands-free things on their cell phone. But the psalmist here just is saying, what's the problem with you? He's acknowledging that there's something within his soul that's missing, that he's not really created to be so anxious, to be so stressed out, to have this constant hum of noise in the back of his head. He's acknowledging also that God is the one to be hoped in, that God is the one who is going to help him. He's saying, I know, basically what he says is, I know in my head that God is going to take care of me. I understand he's God. I can depend on him. He won't let me down. So why is it that I feel the way I do? He doesn't come up with an immediate answer either. And I'm kind of glad that he doesn't, because so often we find ourselves in a state of unrest. We find ourselves in a state of depression or struggling or feeling like something's missing. And God just doesn't immediately fix it. And I think sometimes to talk to ourselves about it can help. I know the worst feeling in the world is to know something's wrong and to not know what's bothering you. To just feel like, I feel lousy and I don't even know why. Are you sick? Well, I don't think so. I might be. If I wait a little longer, I'm sure I will be. Did you get enough sleep? No, but I slept. I'm not quite sure what the, well, is something going on in your life? Nah, nothing I can really think of. I'm just dry. I'm just feeling kind of empty. Now, I believe that when we go to the Lord and open our heart up to him and say, God, would you help me look at myself? Help me to see what's wrong. Help me to see what's the matter in my soul. Why is it that my soul is so thirsty? How am I missing out on you, Lord? That's a good thing. And it's a good thing for us to just reflect on it sometimes. What we tend to do is to run away. When we feel like something's wrong, we just go, okay, pretend like it's not happening. And we whistle in the dark. Maybe we busy ourselves with the affairs of life. Maybe we just pour ourselves into serving God, or, you know, we try to think of something happy. And really, though, the truth is, most of the time, something is wrong with my soul. There's something in there that God wants to deal with. And so a good place to start when you're feeling that things aren't quite right is to come to the Lord and to say, what's wrong with my soul? Talk to ourselves a little. Can you figure out what's wrong? As the beautiful psalm says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. See if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. And so it's a healthy thing to spiritually and emotionally and sometimes even physically to look ourselves in the mirror and to say, I'm not going to pretend like this isn't happening. I see something's wrong. God, what's the deal? Ask myself. God is your hope. He's your God. You believe in him. Romans 8:28 is still in the Bible. He's causing all things to work together for good. So what's this humming about? What's this restlessness about? What is this thirst about? Something's wrong with my soul, and I'd like to see what it is. And again, you're not going to get an immediate answer, but I'll tell you this. If you stop asking that question, you'll never get an answer, immediate or otherwise. If you're afraid to go there, if you're afraid to consider, and again, to look yourself in the mirror, then you're in denial. And things will build up and become worse. It's really important that we come to understand what's the matter, so then we can open our heart before the Lord and allow him to touch us and to work in our lives. And so he gives himself a little pep talk and says, now I'm going to yet praise him. He's the help of my countenance. He's the one who can put a smile back on my face. So I will praise him, but I'm wondering what's going on. I'm a little puzzled by this. And then he opens his heart up to the Lord and says, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar. Says, God, I'm cast down. I'm still not bailing on you. what I want to do is think of all the things that you've done. And as he says, you know, everything you've done from Mount Hermon, which is up way in the north and on the east side of the Sea of Galilee, even up above that, way up north, to the hill Mizar. No one knows. There are a couple of hills that have been called the hill Mizar, but the word Mizar in Hebrew means little. And so there are some people who have suggested it's just talking about a little hill, and one good candidate would be Mount Sinai, because Mount Sinai wasn't a huge mountain. It was really more of a hill than a mountain. And since it was probably way down at the southern end of Israel, what he may be saying is, hey, from the north to the south, all over, I've seen what you have done. God, I remember you and what you've done. But deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. I'm about to drown. He goes, I am sinking fast. Now, I think if I ask most people in this room, have you ever felt like that? Most of us would say, yeah. But then if I ask a follow-up question and said, when you felt like that, did you tell God that? And probably for a lot of us, we might say, not usually. Because when we start feeling like we're choking, we're drowning, we're dying, for some reason, God is the last one we turn to. Oh, we will cry out for him to deliver us from the situation. But in reality, we will usually, in one way or another, get sort of upset with him or decide that he doesn't love us or that he's a long ways away. I love the fact that throughout the Psalms, we see this example whereby you're honest with God. You're open to him about how you feel. I think that, and it probably started maybe when we were kids, when they teach you to pray, you have to be really careful how you word your prayers. In fact, you're supposed to really pray in King James English if you can. I mean, this is the God of heaven, for crying out loud. You don't want to offend him. You don't want to say anything in your prayers that might hurt his feelings. Because pagan gods were that way. You didn't mess with them. But the true God is a God who loves us, who knows everything in our hearts. If you thought it, he's already heard it. So to pray it to him isn't going to hurt his feelings. In fact, if there's anything that hurts God's feelings, I suspect it's when we don't tell him how we feel.
You're listening to The Balanced Word with our pastor and teacher, Dave Rolfe. We're going through the Psalms, and stay with us for more teaching from Pastor Dave in just a moment. These programs are available by podcast at thebalancedword.com. Thebalancedword.com. We'd also like to offer you Pastor Dave's Through the Bible series on a USB thumb drive for a gift of $20 or more. Go through the Bible with Dave by ordering this special series today. Call 949-362-7475 or go to thebalancedword.com. Your gifts help to make these shows possible on stations like this one all across the nation. Thank you for standing with us with either a one-time gift or ongoing monthly support. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com or again call 949-362-7475. Have you had a chance to listen to Pastor Dave's one-minute messages? You can listen to those at thebalancedword.com and even join our mailing list so we can deliver them to you each day. You can also watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. We'd love to have you join us for a Sunday service at Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel. Our service times on Sunday morning are at 8 and 10. Directions and more information about the church can be found online at ccpacifichills.org. And you can watch our live stream there too, ccpacifichills.org. If we can pray for you in any way, we ask that you contact us through thebalancedword.com or by calling us at 949-362-7475. All right, we left off in Psalm 42 at verse 8 a moment ago. Here's Pastor Dave with more.
He goes on to say in verse 8, the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. He's going, I know even though I feel this way, God is always going to be there. And if it's the nighttime, if it's a time when I don't see what's going on, I'm still going to pray, and I'm still going to sing to him. If it's the daytime, things are going well, I'm going to relish in his love. I'm going to appreciate all that he has done for me. But again, this is faith. First of all, being honest enough to tell God, here's how I feel. And then saying, even though I'm not feeling it, God, I know you love me. And I know you're there. And I know that you're going to take care of me. Day or night, there you are.
Isn't it good to know the Lord is with us 24/7, 365? You can count on it. We'll leave you with that biblical encouragement, and we'll pick up from this point tomorrow on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth as we continue through the Psalms. This program is brought to you by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And